KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have light snow, cloudy skies, 12 degrees in Atlantic. We look for light snow today, less than 1 inch is expected, and we'll have a high around 30. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. And the news is brought to you this hour by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Roadways in the listening area, basically off to our west and south, are partially covered with snow, with the exception of those roads south of Highway 92, where most of those in southwest Iowa are completely covered with snow. There have already been some minor accidents reporting, one down in Corning. So give yourself plenty of extra time if you're traveling to the west, southwest, or northwest, for that matter, where the snow is progressing into the listening area. Roads off to the east right now are not too bad, according to the State Patrol, the Iowa DOT's 511IA.org website. They're in normal driving condition, but again, that could change as the snow makes its way around the state. Well, in the news, information was released this week on the investigation into the actions of three Denison City employees who were placed on administrative leave in December. The city manager, city clerk, and fire chief were reinstated while the investigation continued, but the city said it was a personnel issue and no public information was released. Attorney James Gilliam gave the city council an update and revealed the investigation reviewed how the three employees handled various budget and personnel actions.
I did not find any evidence that any of the administrative decisions I reviewed as part of my investigation were a product of bad faith, personal profit, or constituted criminal conduct. Instead, the decisions were made for reasons that the administrators believed were in the best interest of the city.
Gilliam says that a portion of the problems resulted from a change enacted in 2012 when the current city manager took his position and a portion of his duties were assigned to the city clerk's position. He said the changes led to a less active management style by the council.
The decisions were made in an environment where the council was exercising less than full oversight and control over administration decisions, and the administrators, taking advantage of that lack of council control, usurped the council's policymaking authority.
Gilliam said that led to a lack of communication between the council and administrators.
In this environment, city administrators developed a habit of under-informing council of their actions and becoming defensive when the council asked legitimate questions.
Gilliam presented several recommendations on how the council and administration could improve their working relationship and the way the city conducts its business. The Denison City Council accepted the report and concluded the investigation. No further action was taken, but the council will be able to ask written questions of Gilliam to obtain information on specific items in his full report before a special city council meeting is likely to be scheduled. That council meeting could include an endorsement of the council to maintain the current staff. Again, no other action was taken. The Page County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that a traffic stop early Thursday morning on Highway 31 north of Brattyville had resulted in the arrest of a rural Essex woman. 30-year-old Chastity Nicole Zager was arrested for driving while barred, habitual offender. Zager was transported to the Page County Jail and held on a $2,000 bond. Sioux City police have charged a man with arson in connection to the death of a Hinton woman Thursday night. Detective Nick Thompson said 40-year-old Elizabeth Bockholt died at a hospital after being found in a hotel room where there was a fire.
We learned that the fire was intentionally set by an individual identified as Jordan Henry, age 29, of Sioux City.
Police and firefighters were sent to the Wingate Hotel just before 9:30 p.m. on the report of smoke coming from the room. Bockholt was found inside. Henry, the suspect in the case, was arrested around 2:45 Friday morning.
The Sioux City Police Department was called to the 4900 block of Singing Hills Boulevard to check on a suspicious person. Uniform officers did respond to the area, and at that time, Mr. Jordan Henry was located and taken into custody.
Thompson did not say how Henry may have known Bockholt, who was the mother to four children, or why Bockholt was staying at the hotel. An autopsy is planned to determine the cause of her death. A man already serving life in prison for killing an Iowa City cab driver has been convicted of murder in the 2017 shooting death of an Iowa City bail bondsman. The jury convicted 42-year-old Curtis Jones Wednesday of first-degree murder in the death of 34-year-old Jonathan Weisler. Prosecutors say Jones was seen on security video near the crime scene and that Weisler's DNA was found in Jones's vehicle. Jones was also convicted in November of first-degree murder for the 2017 death of cab driver Ricky Lilly and sentenced to life in prison. He committed the murders after being released years early from prison in late 2016 by the Iowa Board of Parole, and Jones had been serving a stint for armed robbery. The Republican-controlled Iowa House is denying press credentials to an influential liberal blogger who has reported on the legislature for years. Laura Belin, who operates the Bleeding Heartland blog, said the House chief clerk hasn't cited any valid reason for the denial, which she suspects is tied to her critical coverage of Republican leaders and policies. Belin applied for formal press credentials for the first time this session, which would grant her workspace in the Capitol and easier access to briefings with key lawmakers. Staff in the Republican-controlled Iowa Senate indicated her request would be granted, but Carmine Bull, the clerk, chief clerk of the Iowa House, told Belin in a January 3rd email that press credentials are not issued to members of the public. Belin has asked Bull to reconsider but hasn't gotten a response. She says she's consulted with an attorney and is considering her next steps. The Iowa Supreme Court has upheld the use of speed cameras in Cedar Rapids in a revised ruling. The Supreme Court reheard the class action lawsuit against cameras on Interstate 380 after the city said the ruling did not rely on the most current version of the ordinance. In the new ruling, the High Court says many regard the automated cameras as speed traps, and the city seeks to encourage payment of fines rather than to force drivers into small claims court. But the ruling says while the court respectively acknowledges those concerns, the case involves traffic citations with small fines, not the pumping of a resisting person's stomach. The ruling does say it is possible to imagine a scenario in which the challenger develops a factual record that demonstrates the system is not related to public safety concerns and is simply designed to raise revenues for the city. But it says the drivers in this case have not done so. The Iowa Supreme Court heard oral arguments Thursday in the Department of Human Services appeal of a district court ruling that said the state Medicaid program has to pay for sex change surgery for two transgender individuals. The lower court ruling says the state violated the Iowa Civil Rights Act and the Equal Protection Clause of the Iowa Constitution by refusing payment, but lawyer Matthew Gillespie argued that is not the case.
This case is not about whether transgender Iowans have suffered and continue to suffer from pernicious discrimination. This case is not about whether transgender Iowans have legitimate medical needs related to gender dysphoria. In fact, this case is not about transgender Iowans at all.
He says the case centers on the rules followed by the state.
This case is about whether Iowa Medicaid appropriately denied coverage for surgeries performed primarily for psychological purposes. For the reasons outlined in our brief and that we'll discuss here today, the answer should be yes.
Gillespie says the rules were not specifically written to discriminate against transgender Iowans.
The petitioners have argued that transgender Iowans seeking coverage for procedures to treat gender dysphoria are similarly situated to non-transgender Iowans requesting coverage for the same procedures to address non-psychological conditions. And in doing so, it reveals the true nature of the case before this court, which is that the crux of the issue is not gender identity, but is instead focused on psychological versus non-psychological health.
Gillespie also disputes the idea that the issue violates the Iowa Civil Rights Act.
Had the Iowa Civil Rights Act been intended to apply in circumstances such as this, there would have been a more clear indication that it was meant to. Again, the application of that act to policy decisions of the executive is a massive expansion, unprecedented in the state, and contrary to both federal and other state law.
The attorney for the other side, John Knight, says the state has tried to move the target.
The state, in challenging the district court's ruling, has, in a sense, taken on the role of medical expert, and they've proposed a different set of facts with respect to the regulation.
And he says the state is wrong about the need for the surgery.
They have recharacterized the nature of the surgery here as cosmetic by their use of the language psychological services. The record evidence, however, shows that this surgery is medically necessary and that it allows, it's really life-saving treatment for a number of individuals, including my clients.
The Iowa Supreme Court will issue a ruling on that case at a later date. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.